Welcome, everyone, to this episode of the Women Entrepreneurs Podcast. And I am Julie Anderson, aka Brain Lady Julie. I'm very excited to be your hostess here and to share with you another great interview with a very, very timely topic, right? What it looks like to be financially well. This is right now with the climate, it's such a great topic to address. And my guest today is Sherry Grabeau. So welcome to the Women Entrepreneurs Podcast.
Thank you. I feel such an honor to be here and to help other women entrepreneurs is a big part of my heart. Just want to see as many women as possible thrive in whatever they choose to do.
I love it. So before we dive into the interview, let me read your professional bio, and then we'll get into who Sherry really is. So, Sherry Grabeau is the founder and CEO of the popular free financial advisory app, Three Nickels. Since 1995, Sherry has worked to bring financially freedom to all. She began her career in online retirement solutions, and in 1999, Sherry co-founded Guided Choice, the world's first digital retirement advisor. Ooh, I wish I would have known about this in 1999. She helped pioneer the use of digital technology to bring more accessible, personalized retirement advice and planning to everyone, creating a $500 billion industry in the process. In 2020, Sherry expanded what began with Guided Choice and founded Three Nickels, her lifelong goal of bringing financial freedom to everyone. And then in 2020, the Three Nickels app launched, providing free financial education and personalized answers, as well as low-cost personalized financial advice. Their goal is to meet everyone where they are at along their financial journey to provide help as needed. And today, she is a highly active CEO helping individuals achieve their financial goals. So once again, welcome, Sherry.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Boy, listening to that, you don't always think about your history.
Exactly, right?
That reminds me.
Yep. So take us down that path a little bit. Mm-hmm. Speaking about your history, like we were talking before I clicked record, and it's kind of like being a financial advisor isn't necessarily something we dream about being as a young child. So what kind of led you into that path of finances and being a financial advisor?
Yeah, that's a great question, because you're absolutely right. It's unusual to choose that path no matter what, but really highly unusual for a woman. So it is kind of been an interesting journey. The name Three Nickels actually comes from my early childhood. That was my allowance. I was given three nickels, one to give away, one to save, and one to spend. Oh. So somehow that got wired into my brain that's what you do. You know, you give money away to help others, you save money, and then you spend money. And so for me, I was kind of just always somewhat financially astute. I'm not sure why. I just was kind of wired that way. Now, I do come from two entrepreneurial parents. My mother didn't work while I was growing up, but then went into industry. She went into real estate. And my father, who had an insurance brokerage and did employee benefits and all types of insurance, I went to work for him when I was young. And what I saw was, wow, people really weren't financially fit. They didn't really understand a lot of these issues. And at the time, the IRS code 401k had just kind of been launched. And so people were starting to go into this thing called 401k. Well, because I had a systems background, so computer science back in the early days, and I was interested in finance, I went to work for my father's firm. One of the very first things I saw is, wow, if we leverage computer technology, we could help more people understand their retirement. And my father looked at me and said, I don't know what you're talking about. And if you want to do that, you go do it. And so he sent me off to a very large firm at the time. It was a commercial union, one of the largest insurance companies in the world. And I sat down with the CEO. Of course, at that time, I'm a 21-year-old right out of college. I'm in Boston sitting across the table from a CEO of a major corporation. I think I perspired through my suit. And I had to pitch my deal, which was, if you fund me for these computers, I know we'll increase sales, but even better than that, we'll help more people. And I had this whole pitch deck that I did. At the end, he said, you know, great idea. Love the concept. You know, I'll think about it. And that was that. I left the office telling my dad, I don't know why you stuck me to do that. And he just because I know he could have walked in, gotten the money and left. Sure. Me, I had to sweat it all out and literally did. But I got the call in about a week after that. And yeah, he said yes. And so we got the money. So that was the very first thing I ever had to pitch. And I have to say, I was scared to death, did not feel like I knew what I was doing. So very typical entrepreneurial kind of feeling where we don't feel like we know what we're doing. But I got the money. And that did enable us then to go out and do employee meetings with technology that would help people see how what they did today impacted their tomorrow. In a little venue, I would say, because we were just right then focused in retirement. So that was my step one. And of course, I got addicted. I thought, oh, this is phenomenal, because you really can help people when they can see the impact to their own lives. So I thought, okay, what I really need to do then is go into computer science. So I was applied to Stanford. I was going to go for my master's in computer science. And one of my very good friends who has a master's in computer science and worked at Apple Computer at the time, well, she looked at me and she said, no, I don't think so. But why don't you come work for me for 9 months and, you know, see if that's really what you want to do before you dedicate 2 years to studying computer science. So that's what I did. Long story short, you know, 6 years later, I was in charge of HR systems at Apple Computer, putting everything at the desktop. So 401k, health and welfare plans. We even had a savings bond plan, a credit union, all different types of employee benefits at the desktop. And at this point, it's 1990, 91. So very, very early on. The internet really wasn't necessarily known outside of, you know, the technology world.
Right. Phone apps weren't even thought of.
Not at all. So I wrote a white paper in 1992 where I saw this concept. I thought, you know, employees, okay, they save for retirement through payroll deduction. They give because we had a United Way program through payroll deduction. They kind of spend because the money goes into their checking account. And I thought, but when they make their decisions, they make them all in these silos and they're not looking at their whole picture. And so I wrote a whole white paper on the concept of three nickels. This is 1992. I went to the president at Fidelity because we had our record keeper for our 401k plan was Fidelity. And I was told, well, people don't need these kind of tools and the internet's not going to be anything. And so I thought, okay, you know, kind of lesson number two for an entrepreneur. Oftentimes you are quite visionary and you don't realize you are because you can see it. And when you're living, especially in a place like Silicon Valley, as I was working at a company like Apple, that's so innovative. That's the way your brain gets wired. You just think all things are possible and you think everybody else can see the same things. And from there, ironically, I went back into financial services and learned, oh, that's not the way the world is at all.
Yeah.
So went from Apple, where I was actually already in email, to a company, you know, financial services firm, and they weren't using email. They were using computers, but they would print it off and then send memos in our company mail.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, wow, I don't even know how to work anymore. I had to, you know, relearn. And I realized, oh, okay, this idea is way ahead of its time. I still didn't know at that time how far ahead of its time it was.
Right.
But I knew. So then it was kind of fast forward, into the later 1990s, and we really wanted to provide advice into 401k plans, which at the time, under the regulations, was illegal, in essence. You couldn't do it, especially if you were a financial services firm. So we had to go and get a lot of the regulations changed and modified to be able to provide this level of advice to individuals. So lesson number three is, an entrepreneur, if you can, try to avoid industries with a lot of regulation.
Okay.
Very, very difficult road to go on. And that took a couple of years in and of itself to, well, first step was going to get a prohibited transaction exemption, which is just a fancy word for get an exemption to the law that exists. And then, you know, second to that, we really did have to work to encourage a change in the laws, which did begin to happen. So thankfully, you know, the services were being made more and more available. So now about 1999, late 1999, I was actually part of Trust Company of the West, a very large asset management firm in LA, when we started doing a lot of this work, thinking that we would launch it within a financial services entity. But what we discovered is, you know, technology is not their core business. And when you're doing something like this, which is very technology-based and very innovative, it was obviously very state-of-the-art at the time. It probably didn't belong within a financial services company. So we spun it off. That's June of 1999. And I partnered up with Dr. Harry Markowitz. He's the Nobel laureate for what's called modern portfolio theory. That's my only Greek. I'll try to speak today. But that's easy. Everybody knows what it is, actually. It's don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Right. That's his theory. Yeah.
So partnered up with him, is not only is he a fabulous economist and financial guru, so to speak, he also really had a lot of technology background and had actually invented SimScript programming language, which was one of the first object-oriented programming languages and one of the first object-oriented databases. So he was brilliant in both areas that I needed help in. I had the consumer concept. I always say I was the brawn, he was the brains, really had that knowledge. So we partnered up in June of 1999 and launched our first product in 2001. So that's kind of what launched Guided Choice. We came out with literally the first, today's world, I guess people call them robo-advisors, or I guess there's all sorts of names for them. But in essence, it's a technology-backed advice system that gives you advice on your personal situation. So you want to know, how much should I save for retirement? Where should I invest? How do I then draw down the money when I go to retire? All those kinds of questions get answered for you on a very personalized basis.
So that's early AI.
Yes, very early AI. Yes. And we really, what we had done was so state of the art. I used to just kind of sit in awe of our team. Because one of the things that we were able to do very early on, and part of that was because I had partnered with Dr. Markowitz, and that's another, I think, probably lesson number four for an entrepreneur. Always find people to partner with that are smarter than you, because you need them and they'll need you. You bring a different skill set. I brought vision, not from an academic perspective or from a theoretical perspective, but from the consumer perspective. And, you know, he brought the academics and he brought the, really the technological brilliance that it took. But he also could build that team, put together that team of global brilliant people who are still with me today. So it's really been a phenomenal journey and couldn't have done it without him. So we partnered, we built that first tool. It was amazing what it could do, the way it could get personalized and implemented. But if I say lesson number five for an entrepreneur, when you go into a field that is old and established, like financial services, and you're coming in with, you know, new and innovative, and you're changing regulations, and you're changing technology, and you're doing so much that is so beyond what they're used to, be prepared to stay the ground and, you know, really be prepared for a long haul.
I can imagine you probably got a lot of pushback because, you know, financial advisors are thinking, wait a minute, you can't automate any of this because I'll lose money.
Yes, from the financial advisor community, they thought we were trying to steal their job.
Yeah.
And we would say, oh, no, 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 what we're doing is making you efficient. We're the plane, you're the pilot. And we need you to fly the plane.
Right.
But you need the plane to fly. So it took us a while to get them on board. Financial services firms, now they were even probably more of a challenge because they were the record keepers of the retirement plans. They had all the data, but they don't want to give that data up to anybody.
Right.
They want to own that data. The irony is, legally, they don't own it. The plan does, and that's the employer is usually the plan sponsor. They own the data, but record keepers can prevent you from getting to it. So that was quite a challenge to work through. But I would say one of the benefits was I had experienced the financial services industry. So I understood it, which as an entrepreneur was very helpful for me because I never took venture capital money. And my whole reason for not taking venture capital was I know they have a very short attention span and they want to turn that that investment quickly. I mean, that's what they do. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know at the time, I mean, this is, you know, 1999 when we're starting, I didn't know how long it would take the industry to adopt.
To catch up,
I knew it was going to be a challenge. I had no idea how long a challenge it would be. I think I was envisioning like 5 years, and it probably took more like 10 to 15 years to really get it to the place where the industry was used to it and would adopt it more readily. So it's a long haul. And I would say for a lot of entrepreneurs out there, you know, be encouraged as you feel like you're banging your head up against the wall. Especially if you're doing something that's never been done before, then be very encouraged because it's not easy. What you're doing is not easy. Stay your ground. Be very frugal fiscally. One of the things the venture capital world does is quite the opposite. You know, they throw a ton of money at something. I mean, just to put things in perspective, when we were going out and we were building initially our tool, I think we invested all of about $7 million, and this is 20 years ago.
Wow.
And all of our competitors had invested over $150 million.
Wow.
So they invested over 150 was the smallest. Most were well over that, and nobody came close to building what we had built for $7 million. So I would encourage people, if you are doing something entrepreneurial where you do have to build out and you do have to invest money, you know, remember what you would do in your own household versus, you know, kind of the venture capital ways. Let's just pour the money into it. And I can say at that time, you know, we had two competitors in the field. There were probably actually four of us. Out of the four of us, only one remains, other than us, one remains today. So more money is not necessarily the solution.
Right. And that's a good message. Yeah, and I think that sometimes it's difficult for what I find in working, when I put on my Brain Lady hat, right, and I teach the brain personality connection and understanding your brain wiring and your brain strengths and your brain non-strengths, most entrepreneurs, because they have identified the home of entrepreneurialism in the brain, and that's up here in the big picture, open-minded thinking, great new innovative ideas, but the details are on the left side, and oftentimes entrepreneurs drop those details, and I think that financial piece gets dropped a lot for entrepreneurs. They don't realize the investment. They don't realize how to budget their investment. They don't realize, you know, where am I going to allocate the funds that I have that's most important. So I think the message that you're sending too is, and I don't know, you'll have to tell me if your Three Nickels app helps with that, but you know, that's a really good message for, sorry about the little extra sound effects in the background, my dog. you know, to help entrepreneurs realize that they need to be fiscally responsible, from not just lead with the heart, but also pull some of that, you know, financial, you know, strength into their business as well.
Yeah. And if you don't have it, you need to find it. You have to hire it.
Exactly.
That I would have to say was probably one of our main reasons we were able to survive, because it was a much longer haul than we had even planned for. Mm-hmm. You know, thankfully by 2004, kind of mid-year, we were cash flow positive. So we were in a pretty good place, but you know, you're still vulnerable. We were still vulnerable for another, you know, 4 or 5 years, because you're mm-hmm. still trying to grow that business and you're trying to put money back in, and cash flow is king at that point in time. So,
right.
Yeah. I mean, I think those are very key things. And the funniest thing is, until I did study a lot of neuroscience, especially as we were developing out the tool, I would always say I was completely left-brained. I thought I was totally left-brained. And I always thought, I have no right brain. And then I later on learned, oh, no, I'm pretty right-brained. Uh-huh. Yes, uh-huh. Thankfully, I do have a left brain. But so you bring that up, and I have to laugh, because I didn't realize how right-brained I was for years.
Yeah, because you were doing that innovation and thinking of all that. So let's talk about why it's so important, not just as we kind of touched on it with entrepreneurs, right? Because if you don't have that financial independence as in your business, and you become heavy in debt, chances are your business is going to fold. So we understand that with business, but in people in general, why is it so important to be financially independent in just period in your life, business and personal life, personal finances?
Yeah. Oh, to me, it's so key. You know, when we look at the data today, 64% of the people will say their number one cause of stress is money. And I think, you know, I have so much empathy for people, because it's a confusing subject. And quite mm-hmm. frankly, I mean, I believe a lot of it's confusing because the industry makes it confusing, because they want to sell you product instead of you being educated to purchase product. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you look out there, there's over 10,000 mutual funds. Do we need over 10,000 mutual funds? No. But we have them, and they keep creating new things. You know, then, you know, all of a sudden crypto comes on the scene and nobody understands it, but they're all investing in it. And those kinds of things, it's there's so much hype in the system that gets going. And part of that's because there needs to be hype. If you have something like crypto that comes out and there's nothing behind it, but maybe the US dollar on some occasions, if there's nothing else behind it but the US dollar, then you could just invest in the US dollar. So you don't need to invest in crypto and have somebody else making money. But what they do is they turn it into, it's not an investment, it's a speculation. And when you're speculating, what I need to do is create hype so that you're willing to pay more for it than I paid, so that I can now sell it at a higher price. And the hype is what we would oftentimes term a bubble. And mm-hmm. a lot of times in investing, that's what happens. These, you know, different products come out and then they create all this hype around it. And nobody's sophisticated enough to figure out what's going on. So everybody, it's almost like a FOMO effect. I got to get in because look at what everybody's doing. That level of complexity, as you well know, messes with the brain. And so they're trying to get you to buy into something that really is nothing. I mean, it could be a pet rock, but even a pet rock was more tangible than a lot of the crypto. But whatever it is, they were just trying to get you to buy it. So, you know, the key overall to why it's so important to be financially free is to eliminate the stress, eliminate the emotional decision-making that goes on with money so often, mm-hmm. Eliminate the dopamine rush to the, you know, initial buy or the initial debt that people oftentimes get into. And to me, one of the scariest things is we're actually wiring people's brains by age 17, 18 to debt, to student loan debt. We're at over a trillion and a half in student loan debt. So we're actually teaching the brain, before it's even formally fully developed, to go to debt.
Yeah.
To get the dopamine rush, to get the immediate gratification. But then talk to anybody in their 20s, as they're paying off that student debt, they get a little tired of it.
Yeah, no kidding.
I can't get out of this. But yet, if you look at pretty much the way everything's now marketed, it's all marketed in monthly payments. Why? I mean, when I first bought my first car, they didn't market to me in monthly payments, but they do now, because that's how they've wired the brain to just stay in debt. And anytime we have debt.
And don't worry about the overall price. Let's just make sure you can afford the monthly payment, and we'll just make it that much longer.
Exactly. And so what happens is, if that's the way you're taught to think, then you wire your brain to just monthly payment, and therefore I can afford it. Not thinking about the fact that A, you're probably going to overpay for that item.
Yeah.
B, your future self may not be all that happy with you, because now your future self is stuck in this payment. And that's what creates the stress. In fact, medical science has now added a new disease called debt stress syndrome. It's real.
I mean, I believe it.
It's real. So, you know, to me, the whole key to being financially free is to be able to be in your destiny. That's it. It's to be in whatever you feel is your destiny. And when we're not free, we're not able to do that. We're also not able to make our own choices based in not social media, but based in what my objectives are for my life. What are my goals? Because maybe my goals aren't to travel all over the world. But if I watch social media enough and I see everybody else is doing it and they all look like they're happy, then I need to do it. And so what we see now is young people, they'll spend far more time annually planning vacations than they will their retirement or their other financial goals.
Yeah. So, and they don't realize it until you get, you know, my husband and I stayed at home and homeschooled my kids, and that's where our focus was. My husband was self-employed. We owned our own business the whole, you know, all the way. And it wasn't until we hit 50 that we were kind of scratching our head going, okay, we got to do something or else we're never going to be able to retire. So tell us a little bit about Three Nickels and what is that, and what is that all about? So obviously it's an app, because you took us through that technology thing, but what is that and how does that help individuals become financially independent?
Yeah, that's the whole goal of Three Nickels. It goes back to the, like I said, that save, spend, give. Those are the three things you can do with your money. You can save it, you can spend it, you can give it away. And so what we wanted to do was build out tools for people. Now, initially, interestingly enough, we thought we were going to build it with, okay, you sit down and you figure out your values. Am I a save, spend, giver? Am I a giver, save, spender? Am I a spend, spend, spender? You know, what are my goals? And what we found is, for the majority of people, they had no idea. They just didn't know what their goals were. So we retooled after beta testing and redesigned it such that, you know, you can enter in your data. And this is on the advice tool. We also have a free tool, a free version. The free version just gives you answers. I call it answers in a silo. If I want to know, you know, how to pay off my debt best and save the most amount on interest, I would use the debt tool. And in a silo, I get the answer. But it won't necessarily help you figure out, you know, should I pay off my debt faster or start saving for retirement? Is it either or? Is it both and? What's the best answer? It won't do that. It won't. The free tool won't do the trade-offs. So the advice tool does do all the trade-offs for you from a mathematical perspective.
Right.
So initially, we give you the best math answer.
Yeah.
But you now have all the ability to control and make changes and say, you know, I don't want to do that. I want to do this. And you can play around with it and get to the right answer for you.
Yeah.
It has a financial coach as well. So you can call the 800 number and have a financial coach kind of walk you through the whole process, because it can be overwhelming for people. But at the end of the day, it's really showing you all your goals financially, and then whether you're on track or off track, and then you can make changes.
I love it. So it just seems that I'm looking at it, and that's it. That is the threenickels.com, and it's really cool. I'm looking forward to checking it out. And I think probably especially for the younger generations that are so tech savvy and they do everything by this, you know, I'm sure it's a great tool. So what is, there's a couple things, we're running out of time here, but what's the one piece of advice that you want to give someone who is listening to all this going, oh my goodness, I have no idea what to do. Where do I start? What do I do? What's that one piece of advice?
Yeah, the first piece of advice we give to everybody is start now. You know, the hardest thing to do is start. We tend to procrastinate on things we're intimidated by, and most people are intimidated by math and money. Well, those are two topics that we deal with. So it's start now. You know, go on the app. You can typically use it for 30 days for free and just use it and get some answers. If you get stuck, call the 800 number. Because there are people that are so willing to help you and to get you, you know, through the process. Because, you know, as, like I said earlier, the industry's not friendly. You know, the financial services firms, it's very difficult. They make things hard, I think, on purpose half the time. Yeah. So that you need them. And so we're very well versed in this stuff and we can help you. But the biggest key is start now. You know, just don't be intimidated. Don't let it get you down. Just start now.
Yeah. And start with whatever you can start with, right?
Yep.
You know,
yep.
If you can only start with $10, then $10 is better than nothing, right?
Exactly. And that's the beauty of the app. The app will it's only going to deal with what you have available and give you answers based on what you have available. So it won't tell you to do something you can't do, which that's the beauty of it. It's really looking at you personally.
That's great. And I love that because I listen to financial every weekend. You know, I'm listening to the financial talk radio and their little spiel at the end is if you have a portfolio of $1 million or more. So a lot of people are like, what?
Yes, exactly. And we built this for the everyday person.
I love it.
This is geared for anybody and not really necessarily targeted for somebody who's got $1 million above. They'll go hire an advisor and work that way. This is really built for everybody else.
I love it.
So that anybody can get world-class advice without a lot of stress.
I love it. What a great tool. We're going to wrap up. I want everybody to, we've been running the ways that for those who are just listening, we are running all of the ways that you can stay connected with Sherry, whether it's on LinkedIn, Three Nickels, or Sherry Grabeau, or Twitter, all of those different places. So all this information will also be in the show page for you to be able to access to stay connected. And we also have, you can send her an email at sgrabeau@guidedchoice.com, and her phone number will also be there. So I want to just thank you so much. This was such a valuable topic. I think it's super, super important for so many, especially women entrepreneurs, to think that way, because we lead with our heart sometimes. And at the end of the day, we crash because we don't have the finances to keep going. So beautiful information.
Thank you for what you're doing for women entrepreneurs. I know back when I started, there was really no help and no group and nobody really supporting women entrepreneurs. So it's a beautiful thing what you're doing. And I so appreciate you.
Thank you so much. We're having a lot of fun. Lots of fun doing it. And on that topic, join us. Join our Facebook group. It's a free Facebook group. Become a member on our website. Go to womenentrepreneursextraordinaire.com. It is where the site's finally up. We're so excited. We also have a couple of membership levels that help to cover all of our costs in running the group. So check those out. If you want to, if you have a thought, you know, maybe you listen to these shows and you're like, oh, I'd love to see this topic. This is a question I have a topic on, or this is a topic I have a question on. It's the end of the day. Send us an email to the group liaison, Kelly@womenentrepreneursextraordinaire.com. Or if you're like Sherry and you have a wonderful business advice or wonderful business tool or business you'd like to expose to those who are listening or just to the world in general, then by all means, shoot us an email and we will get that we will get you connected. All right. So outside of that, I want everybody to just, this has been a great interview. Once again, thank you so much, Sherry, for being with us. Thank you all of the listeners for listening, and take that nice deep breath. Go out there. If you're stressed about money, take a few deep breaths and then go visit Sherry's app. But go out there and simply enjoy every moment. Yeah.